Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN is powered by Valvoline. Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-thru oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and coupons today. Our newest sponsor, the Lakers Talk. Appreciate that. All right, our top NBA stories. Man, I'm telling you, the MVP thing, I'm just getting heated in my car driving in here thinking about what I was going to talk about when it came to the MVP. Okay, top NBA stories. It's kind of time for the trade season. You know, we had two stories that came out today. Trade deadline. Trade deadline is March 25th. So this is what we got here. Blake Griffin and the Pistons have agreed that he's going to be out of the lineup, and they're looking for some potential trades or a contract buyout. He's making $36 million this year. He's got $30 million coming in next year. By the way, it's one of my favorite times of the year is when we start talking about trades and we start looking at players that are bad. They're bad fits with a bad team, and then there's other teams trying to come in and say, okay, if we really got a legitimate shot of winning an NBA championship, we got to go make some kind of move. So right now, over the next, you know, let's say 5 weeks or so, you're going to have teams that are on the fringe that say, if we got any shot at hanging with a team like the Lakers or hanging with a team like Brooklyn or Philly or the Clippers, you know, these upper echelon teams, the Utah Jazz, you can throw into that mix, they might have to go all in. And if they don't go all in, then they become sellers and say, well, let's get rid of any talent that we have and see if we can start get some expiring contracts, some draft picks or what have you. Okay, so the Blake Griffin part I think is interesting. I'm not really sold on Blake anymore. I mean, who knows if he ends up with the right team, what he can do? I mean, back in the days when we were watching the Clippers and Blake Griffin, that was such a weird dynamic with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. Who was the alpha? Was it Chris Paul? Was it Blake? I will tell you this. This stage of Blake Griffin's career, that dude's got to be the third best player on a contender. Can't be a number one. Everybody knows that. Can't be a number two. He's got to be the third best player on a contender if that squad has a chance of winning an NBA championship. I think that's fair to say. I don't think anybody's going to. If you're going to go make a trade for Blake Griffin, you better already have a stacked team, and Blake Griffin's just going to come in. Hey, whatever you guys need me to do, I can still give you 17 and 10 a night, 17 and 9 a night. I'm here to be a team player. I just want to win an NBA championship. It's going to have to be something like that. But it comes with a price tag. $36 million this year. $39 million next year. So we'll see what happens with Blake Griffin. That's one guy that we could expect to be, obviously, on the trading block. The Cleveland Cavaliers. This one I don't like. The Blake Griffin I don't really pay that much attention to. This one I don't like. The Cleveland Cavaliers won't play Andre Drummond. They're going to try to trade him before the trade deadline. So Andre Drummond is making $28.7 million this season. It's an expiring contract. He's about 17 and 13 a night, 17 points and 13 rebounds. This is why I don't like this one. I think Drummond on the right team can kind of change the scope of the NBA. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Right now, we know what teams are the contenders. Lakers are a contender. Brooklyn's a contender. Utah, I want to see more of. I don't think they're a contender yet. I mean, if you told me Utah or the Clippers, I'd probably still take the Clippers. I think they would be more of a contender to me to face the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals than the Utah Jazz. Now, we'll see what happens with the standings and the seedings and everything else. But Andre Drummond, if he went to a team like the Boston Celtics, who are so in need of size, that could change the scope of the Eastern Conference. They already got a lot of young talent. Let's say the Clippers. If the Clippers found a way to get Andre Drummond, and if there's one thing that people talk about with the Clippers is, well, they don't really have enough size to go up against the Lakers with Anthony Davis. That could change the scope of things. So the Drummond thing I'm paying a lot of attention to. Maybe I'm overhyping Andre Drummond, but if Andre Drummond's your third or fourth best player, and he's a big that's going to get you 17 and 13 a night, and he can actually play a little bit of defense down low, that's a nice addition for a team that's trying to go all in. So keep an eye out on the trade market. Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond this morning, both were announced that are going to take some time off with the Pistons and the Cavs as they try to work out some deals or buy out market or whatever the case is. Who do you think broke that story? Maybe it was just Adrian Wojnarowski. Okay, another story that I got here. This one, I was surprised yesterday. I was expecting Michael Thompson to agree with me. Michael disagreed. Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks played the Utah Jazz. I want to say it was on Friday night. This was before the Lakers took on the Memphis Grizzlies. And the Jazz are rolling. So let's not question what the Utah Jazz are doing. Got the best record in the NBA. But Giannis, after the game, I thought said something. I thought it was stupid. I don't think it was a smart move by Giannis Antetokounmpo after the game to say that the Jazz are the best team in the West. Okay? Utah's 22-5. They've won 16 of 17, something like that. I mean, they've won 7 in a row, 9 of 10, but I'm looking at ESPN. It's just showing their last 10 games. But I think they've won 16 of 17 games. I'm not saying Utah's not having an incredible season. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the Utah Jazz. But if you're Giannis Antetokounmpo, and you know the Los Angeles Lakers, who, by the way, walked into Milwaukee on the road and beat the Milwaukee Bucks that started that seven-game homestand or that seven-game road trip, are coming off an NBA championship, are the favorites to win a championship with every sports book that you could think of, you just took a shot at the Lakers. Why? Why? You think the Utah Jazz are the best team in the Western Conference? Maybe he genuinely believes that. But do you really need to say that out loud for a team like the Los Angeles Lakers to hear? Because immediately when I heard it, I was like, oh, I love this. How great is this? Lakers got a little extra ammo against the Milwaukee Bucks, who probably, if the Lakers do get to the NBA Finals, wouldn't play Milwaukee anyways because they can't get out of the Eastern Conference. Did not think that was a smart, strategic move by Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now, Michael on the other side was saying, why? What if that's how he feels? What I was trying to explain to Michael is, why are you adding fuel for the Lakers? Why are you giving the Lakers more ammo? Why are you giving the Lakers more motivation? They don't need it, but they'll take it. For Giannis to say that the Utah Jazz are the best team in the West, in my opinion, is a slap in the face to the team that's favored to win an NBA championship and is coming off an NBA championship. Giannis had other nice things to say as well, but that's the one part that stood out. Okay, another NBA story that I want to get into. The NBA trims one day off the schedule. So everybody's supposed to come back. March 11th is when the second half of the season is supposed to start. Now it's going to be March 10th. Is it significant? No. But it's probably something that the players aren't happy about because now there's an all-star game, and we've heard LeBron James give his peace of mind, and Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Kawhi Leonard, and De'Aaron Fox. There's been a number of players around the NBA that are not crazy about having this all-star game. But I will tell you what, I kind of like the structure of the all-star game. I might be the only one watching this year. Laura, are you going to watch the all-star game? Do you ever watch? Because I'm a down to there's nothing else going on a Sunday. Let's throw the all-star game on. Do you watch it all?
I did. I used to. I actually started again, was it last year? It was a little different.
Last year was great.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Last year, they actually cared, and the structure where it was, instead of having a running clock, they were going to a point total, so that made it exciting. We actually saw some defense. But how about this for an all-star game? This is the structure now, okay? Pre-game, we'll have the three-point challenge and the skills competition, which, by the way, I still don't understand the skills competition. It's literally like a fourth-grade drill, okay? Pre-game show and the skills competition. Then you're going to have the actual all-star game. Halftime will be the dunk contest, and then they'll finish up the All-Star game. So now, all of a sudden, what went to a three-day, you know, how they kind of spread everything out in 3 days, within a few hours, they're going to do everything. Listen, if there's a way to do it, Laura, I think that's a great way of putting it on. You kind of compact everything into one. I think we'll be an entertaining afternoon.
Triathlon, here we come, NBA style. Let's do it.
Yeah, they're going to make it happen. I'm sure the players are not all that crazy about it. So I got one more thing on this, so they cram everything into one day. So the NBA had one more game postponed. Which game was it today? I think it was the Spurs. I want to say Spurs and Detroit.
Spurs and Pistons.
Yeah, Spurs and Pistons. Okay, that game was postponed. So now we have a total of 25 games that have been postponed so far this season. I point that out because the structure of the All-Star Game, too, will be very, let's say they're going to be very on top of this. So players who do not participate in the game, according to ESPN, or I'm sorry, who do participate in the game, according to ESPN, will have to travel to and from Atlanta via private transportation by the NBA and return two negative coronavirus tests. They will also be allowed to bring a limited number of family or friends with them, though those guests can only be at the arena or the hotel. So it will be quick. It will be fast. All-Star game. Get as much profit as you can. Second half of the season is going to start. So that's how this whole thing is structured. Okay, let's do this when we come back. I did mention I'll take some phone calls around 8:15. So if you want to talk Los Angeles Lakers basketball, 877-710-ESPN. Plus, you know, one of the things I didn't get a chance to get into a little bit earlier was, what about the NBA standings? What about home court advantage? Anthony Davis going to be out for a couple of weeks. Is this a big deal? And will the Lakers fall in the standings? I think they will. So let's talk about that a little bit when we come back and see if this is important at all in the big picture. 877-710-ESPN. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, appreciate you guys being a part of the show. By the way, if you miss any part of the show, as always, ESPN app or iTunes, just search Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa. You could download the full 2 hours. Stu Lance came on a little bit earlier. Jovan Buha from The Athletic, covers the Lakers for The Athletic, coming up at 8:30. So he's got a couple good articles right now, AD-related, so we'll touch on that. Okay, so I'm going to get to the phone calls in just a second. Work with me here, people. Just give me a quick second here. One thing that I want to get into, I want to get into the standings. So what about, you know, people talk about Anthony Davis and if he's out, what about what happens to the Lakers? You know, what if they fall to third or fourth place? What happens in the standings if Anthony Davis is not there? What if he misses 2 weeks, 3 weeks, more time than that? My response would be, who cares? Honestly, who cares? Don't get me wrong. I don't not value home court. But this Lakers, you know who needs home court? The Utah Jazz. You know who needs home court? The Philadelphia 76ers, the Denver Nuggets. The Clippers probably want to have home court if they're caught up in a 7-game set against Utah. Those are the teams that need home court. You know who doesn't need home court? The Lakers and the Nets. That's my God honest opinion right there. Those two squads do not need home court. I'll just shift, obviously. We'll just talk about the Lakers. If the Lakers came into the playoffs, this is how much I'm warning Laker fans about the regular season, that it's important, but it's not everything. If the Lakers came into the playoffs and they were a fifth seed, I feel sorry for the fourth seed. If they came in a 2 seed, I feel sorry for the 7th seed. If they came in a 3 seed, I feel sorry for the 6th seed. It don't matter where the Lakers are. It just doesn't. And if in the first round of the playoffs, they got to take on the San Antonio Spurs, or they got to take on, I'm just trying to think, the Phoenix Suns, right? I'm trying to think who's in that 4 or 5, like that area or whatever the case is. It doesn't matter for the Lakers. And if you got to take on the Utah Jazz in the 2nd round, who cares? If you got to take on the Los Angeles Clippers or the Denver Nuggets or Utah and you don't have home court, sounds good. Roll the ball out there. The only thing that matters are the Lakers healthy. That's it. Nothing else is more important than just having LeBron James and Anthony Davis on the floor together when the postseason starts. That's the only thing that matters. So do I think the Lakers have a good chance here if AD misses a significant amount of time? And significant can mean 2 weeks. It can mean more than that. It's just, I guess, how you look at it. Do I think Lakers will start falling in the standings a bit? Yeah, they probably will. Why wouldn't they? It's Anthony Davis. Now, I'm hoping for, I already started off the show, Montrezl Harrell, you got to be there every night. Dennis Schroeder, show why the Lakers traded for you and you were runner-up sixth man of the year. Do it when AD's not here and do it every single night. Kyle Kuzma, what an opportunity for him. Stu was just saying, you guys just heard Stu Lance. He was saying that he's expecting 18 to 20 points a night from Kyle Kuzma. A night. So there's going to be guys that have opportunities. Talen Horton-Tucker, Alex Caruso, Casey, I'll go down the list. But the reality is, if the Lakers lose some steps from a standings perspective, I don't know about you guys, the last thing I'm worried about is the Lakers needing to go win one road game to steal home court back. That's the truth. Of course, at the end of the day, is it ideal? No, it's not ideal. Well, you know what? Life's not ideal. All right, so if Anthony Davis it just comes back at some point and he's healthy and the Lakers are healthy going into the playoffs, like I said, I don't care who they play. The East, look, don't get me wrong. I really actually feel like the Eastern Conference might be more of a challenge than the West. Philly's going to be tough. Brooklyn's going to be tough. Would it be nice to have home court? It would. But this team reminds me more of back in 2002 when the Lakers walked into Sacramento for Game 7, and they had to go get one in, what was it called, Arco Arena. They went and got one. Okay, Devin in L.A. Devin, appreciate you calling, bud. You're on Lakers Talk.
Playoffs! Whoa, what's up, baby?
I never had that. That was almost like a starting lineup right there. I never had one of those. Thank you. Thank you. What's going on?
No worries, man. Thank you, man. Appreciate you. Shout out to Laura, the hardest working woman in show business.
Mm-hmm.
Flewa. Now, I normally agree with you, brother, but I'm going to have to agree with you on something you just said about the Lakers not needing home court. I discussed some with you on another show or previous show. Last year, the Lakers didn't have to travel, man, in that bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy like LeBron, who's getting up there in age, that traveling, man, is tough, bro. Now, we're an older team, and Anthony Davis is dealing with injuries right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, that travel and the type of injury that he has, man, it's going to be tough sledding. I think the Lakers do need home court advantage this season, just due to the fact that we've played more games than any team up to this point. In a year, in a full calendar year. Also, my issue.
Devin, real quick, I want to hit on this. So let's just say you got to go all out in the regular season to have home court, or you're more strategic in the regular season. You might give up some spots in the standings, but you go into the postseason more fresh. Let's say that's what I'm referring to. And I know what you're saying about travel. You're gonna have to travel either way, right? I mean, whether you're getting four games at Staples Center or you're getting four games in Utah or Brooklyn or whatever the case is, what is really the difference in travel? You have to travel anyways when you go on the road. I would just put more stock on them being fresh than I would you got to have home court if you're going to win the NBA Finals.
No, I agree with you. Now, listen to this. Anthony Davis has to sit out right now. We don't know how long, per se, he's going to be out. We don't know when he comes back, how he's going to look with the rest and possibly Russ. That means you're going to have to play LeBron James more minutes.
Yeah.
You're going to have to play LeBron more minutes. And by the time we get to the playoffs, how are LeBron's legs going to look? Now, he pays $1 million a year to work on that body, but he is getting older.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting older. And last night in Denver with that high altitude was a perfect example of what the Lakers are going to have to facing in the playoffs. Traveling to Denver, traveling to Utah. And when I talk about that travel, I just mean like high altitude places like those places. It gets difficult, man.
Well, Devin, I appreciate the call. I appreciate the points. So I'm going to grab a couple quick phone calls. Man, I was all positive here. Devin's got me now. Now I'm overthinking things a little bit. I think they'll be fine. I really do. Get to the postseason healthy. Take your chances. Yeah, LeBron's going to have to put that. That's why I was trying to say earlier. I don't want to hear people talking about LeBron having to do more when AD's out. LeBron, there's nothing more the guy can do. What more do you want him to do? And maybe the Lakers, if they weren't screwing around in some of those games against Detroit, Oklahoma City Thunder, we had to play all those overtime games. That's really how you try to get LeBron to play less minutes. Now it's going to be more of a challenge because, of course, the Lakers will depend on LBJ every single night to probably give them 35 minutes a night if they're going to win some of these games. Will in San Pedro. What's going on, Will? Go ahead, Will. You're on, bud. Will's just driving. He's just driving. He's listening to the show. We go to Will. He's not there. Patrick in the LBC. What's going on, Patrick?
What's up, Alan? Long time no talk. Always a big fan. You know, this would kill me fully on the inside. You've hit the nail on the head with everything you said about LeBron can't do anymore. We need everyone else to step up. Mm-hmm. We got to win the games that we're supposed to win by big numbers so that our guys can take a couple minutes off or take a night off. What I would think we need to look into, and again, I wouldn't want to do this because it kills me, but you possibly trade Kuzma, THT, while their stock is high. Kuzma's proven he can play when AD is out. And I think you've got to bring in a guy like Drummond, Vucevic, maybe I'm dreaming, but a big center that can take a beating and also give minutes so that when AD is back, he's protected like he was protected by Howard. He was protected by McGee. And I think that helps him blossom, and I think it would help us. I think we got to win now. We have LeBron James. Like, love Kuzma, love THT. Going to be great.
Patrick, it's a good point as far as, and I appreciate you calling in, it's a good point as far as trying to win right now. But let me just use last trade deadline as a good example, okay? Last trade deadline, they didn't make a trade. And then in the buyout market, filled out what they needed. Markieff Morris came. Who else came? Markieff Morris came. Trying to think off the top of my head. Markieff Morris was actually the player that the Lakers needed. And Pelinka found a way to, you know, obviously fill in a gap and not trade anybody. So I get what you're saying. Hey, you know what? Shop Kuzma, shop THT. These guys, there's value right now. Go get this type of player. What makes you think that they can't address that need by the time the trade deadline comes or even just the buyout market? There's always going to be players that want to play for the Lakers because it's the LA market, because it's the brand, because they got a chance to kind of resurge their career a little bit, and they got a chance to win an NBA championship. Mario in Venice. What's going on, Mario?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good, man. Thank you.
Good over there.
Thank you for calling in. What's going on?
Nothing. I was going to talk quick Lakers, but you know what? Since I had this opportunity, I want to say thank you very much to you guys because you guys took us through a couple months where there was literally no sports, and you guys, I don't know how you guys did it. I work at night, and I listen to you guys every night, and, you know, I'm trying to get it, not emotional right now, but I don't know. I just want to say thank you, seriously, from the bottom of my heart.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Mario.
You know,
thank you.
I know it wasn't easy. As far as Lakers, I think I'm just going to touch on the points that sounds like everybody else is, which is, you know, these guys are going to have to step up because as good as LeBron looks and as much as he's been able to outrun Father Time, we don't want to be playing with fire either and mm-hmm. have him take on too many minutes and, God forbid, lose him to an Achilles tear or something that might take him out because then we're in trouble. Because now we're looking at AD coming back from an injury and then having to take the load of the team. So you got guys like Kuzma that need to remember what it was like before LeBron got there. Hmm. Now it's the time for them to show him that his presence there has made a difference, not just on the court, but in the locker room and practice, everything. And the other guys that just came on, you know, I'm sure they know how lucky they are just to be there. So that's really all I wanted to say.
Let's see what we got, Mario. Let's see what we got. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening. Let's see what the Lakers do. You got probably a couple weeks that we're going to find out about what Montrez is going to do, and AC, and Kuzma, and THT, and Dennis Schroeder, Wesley Matthews. All these guys now have to – they all got to help LeBron. That's the bottom line. They all got to help LeBron. Okay, when we come back, Jovan Buha, Lakers beat writer for The Athletic, co-host of the Form Club podcast. He's coming up next. I appreciate everybody that's called in to the show, 877-710-ESPN. I'll look to see if I could grab a few more calls before we get out of here at 845. This is Lakers Talk with 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, we'll go another half hour. So, by the way, just a quick reminder, at 9 o'clock, we'll do another Lakers Talk show on social on ESPN Los Angeles. So we'll continue some of that conversation there. I want to welcome in Jovan Buha, Lakers beat writer for The Athletic, also the co-host of the Forum Club podcast. Jovan, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Doing good. We had a chat probably about a week ago or so. We're at Staples Center. Lakers were one of these games. It was, maybe it was an OKC game. They're all blended now, Jovan.
One of the overtime games.
I literally don't remember any of the games anymore. Everything is just blended into my head. But you and I were chatting about this, and I thought it was, I'm sure you've had this conversation a lot with some other folks that cover the team. How weird is it being at Staples Center, man? How weird is just, there's nobody else there. I mean, we literally have an entire section to ourselves, basically. Has that sunk in at all? Will that ever be normal? It's such a weird thing, and I bring it up just because you and I were talking about it in the last game.
No, I mean, I think I've gotten used to it, but it's still not normal, if that makes sense. You know, I still think it's just weird seeing clips now and highlights from last season and previous seasons, and seeing, you know, the fans in the stands and how loud they were and how they impacted games, and just kind of remembering that. And it wasn't that long ago, but it now feels like that. On some level, it's nice because when you got to go to the bathroom or
nobody in line,
go get a water,
nobody in line, wide open.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you can walk around Staples easily. You know, you don't have to walk around people or maybe bump into somebody you know. But yeah, I mean, I miss the fans. I mean, obviously you want everybody to be safe and you want them, you know, to be back in the arena when you know, things are good. But I do think, you know, it's definitely changed the tune of games. Like, to me, what's kind of bothered me is I feel like they now overdo the music sometimes. And
sure.
Kind of, it's a little too loud to kind of, you know, compensate for no, you know, sound in there. So, you know, that is something I'm looking forward to changing whenever the fans get back in the building, is just kind of hearing more of that natural sound and what really gives a you know, Staples Center game, mm-hmm, the environment that we're used to.
Yeah, that will be. There are times where a big time play happens, or I remember, you know, usually I have the headset on, I'm listening to Ireland and MT. Sometimes I'll have one of the headphones on one ear and the other one I kind of take off so I could just hear the natural noise. And I'll hear John get really excited on a play, and I just expect to start hearing the crowd, and there's nothing. It's just it's crickets. But that's the game that we're in. Jovan, you had a good article today. You got a chance to have a conversation, and I want to make sure I pronounce the name right. Dr. Rajpal Brar, who's a physical therapist, sports scientist, and data analyst from 3CB Performance. Can you maybe just walk us through what some of that conversation was like? And obviously what I'm referencing here, the big news about Anthony Davis and how we'll most likely miss 2 to 3 weeks, or at least he'll be reevaluated with a calf strain. What was that conversation like? What kind of I guess you can say from a doctor's perspective came out of that chat?
Yeah, so I mean, I want to be clear that I'm just relaying the information that he told me. I have no medical expertise to speak of, but you know, he really laid out exactly what ended up happening, and you know, almost to a T. Like he said, I think they're going to keep him out 2 to 3 weeks. You know, it's going to be a multi-week recovery. You know, it makes sense with the schedule just to keep him out through the All-Star break. You know, that would give him enough time to rest and rehab and recover. And you know, bringing him back, you know, the Lakers will return at the earliest March 11th. You know, bringing him back in that range would give him almost a month off and really be quality time to you just kind of address the calf area, the Achilles area. And he had said that even though the Lakers had listed it as tendinosis and that could have been part of what AD was dealing with. You know, if he actually had bad tendinosis, he would not have been able to play, and he would not have been able to have returned as quickly as he did. So he suspected it was something, within the calf area or Achilles area. I don't want to get too medical on, but you know, the sheath and sort of the area that covers the tendon. Mm-hmm. And that's actually what AD said after the game Friday, against Memphis, that he was like, to be clear, you know, you guys keep talking about my Achilles tendon. It's not my Achilles tendon.
Right.
It's the area around it that's inflamed and sore. So that was exactly what Dr. Brower was talking about. And he said that, because I asked him, because I was like, AD said after the game Friday that, if he rested, that would be one way to solve it. But he was like, the doctor said no, the Lakers medical staff looked at him. They obviously ran him through some tests, and AD himself said that, yesterday morning he was feeling as good as he's had, felt since this happened. So the fact that all that happened, he was like, it was fine that he played. Like, there should be no regret on AD playing. Mm-hmm. These things happen. You can re-aggravate stuff when you play through it, but he was cleared to play. And if he was cleared to play, that was fine. But I think the big picture takeaway here is that this is not something to be too concerned with. This is something that AD can heal and get better from. And I think if he does get the next few weeks off, which it seems like he's going to, I think he'll come back after the All-Star break and look like the AD we're accustomed to seeing, versus the kind of, hobbled version we've seen maybe the past couple weeks, because this is something he's now been dealing with for a couple weeks. So, I think for Laker fans panicking, I would not be too concerned. Obviously, the Achilles is a scary thing. You don't want to mess with it. And this could lead to something bigger picture had he continued to play through it. But I think it sounds like he's going to recover and ultimately be fine.
Yeah, it's interesting, Jovan. You mentioned a couple things, and I talked about this during the start of the show, that I do feel like, from a timing perspective, okay, and I'm not, listen, at the end of the day, of course, you want no player to get injured at any time, but just looking at the big picture for the Lakers and paying attention to Anthony Davis, it does seem like he's been hobbled for the most part this season, at least through the first 20-plus games or so. Does this next 3 weeks, you got, what, 9 games, I think, before we get into the All-Star break, something like that, 8 or 9 games. And then you got this 5-day layoff from there. It kind of feels like if Anthony Davis takes more time than he even needs it, just based on the timing and kind of how the All-Star break will work, and then we'll get the second half of the schedule eventually released, it almost seems like the Lakers can kind of come into this back half of the schedule as healthy as they've been all season from AD's perspective, which might set him up going into the playoffs.
Well, 100% agree with you. And I think the other thing to keep in mind here is, for the Lakers, it's not just, I think seeding doesn't matter as much as in previous seasons because of no fans in the building, right? We've seen the Lakers have been better on the road than at Staples Center this year. And now their record's kind of evening out, the road versus home record. But I don't think it matters as much. So this team is going to make the playoffs. They're going to be a top 4 seed. At worst, I think they're going to be a 3 or 4 seed. Depending on how long AD's out or if something else happens. But they're going to have home court advantage. So I think from a macro perspective, there's no real concern with that. You're just looking at, let's get AD healthy and to the postseason. And I think even, bigger picture than that, it's the Lakers just re-signed him to a 5-year, deal.
Right.
And you don't want to mess with the Achilles, and tendinosis is a degenerative form of, your tendon. So, this is something that if it doesn't, if they don't address it and it doesn't heal properly, this could be a lingering thing. So you're not just looking at AD this season and this postseason, you're looking at he is the foundation of this franchise. He is the face of the team, post LeBron, whenever that is, who knows at this rate, could be another, 5 to 7 years, right, with the way he's playing. But, realistically, AD is the face of the team moving forward. So you're not just trying to preserve him for this postseason. You're looking at the rest of his career. And an Achilles thing, we've seen it time and time again. it can shorten, you know, a player's career. So it's just not something you want to mess with. And I think them taking the cautious approach moving forward is the correct way to handle all of this.
Jovan, I did the math on LeBron the remainder of his career. According to my math, he'll retire at 57. He'll be 57 years old when he retires.
Hey man, so I wouldn't rule it out.
He'll be in his prime till he's 49. Jovan Buha taking some time to join Lakers Talk here. Jovan, what kind of opportunity does this create? I mean, if you're looking at this Lakers roster right now, who's got the most opportunity in these next couple of weeks that can really step up for Anthony Davis? Who jumps out to you?
So I've come here with some data. This is part of a story I'm writing for The Morning, but I went and looked at all the games that AD has missed and compiled all of, no crazy stats, but just minutes, points, shot attempts, rebounds, assists. And what jumps out to me is that Dennis, Kyle, and Trez are the three guys who really benefit from AD not being there. All three guys jump up into the 15-point range, which, you know, neither is average, like none of the three are averaging 15 points a game right now. So Kuz has a big jump from 11 to 15, and Trez and Dennis jump from 13 to 15. But those three are the guys who you know, are getting multiple shots more a game, that they're playing more minutes. And I think those are the three that are probably going to have to shoulder most of the offensive load. You know, of course, LeBron, I think will, you know, he's played more when AD's been out. He's taken some more shots. So I think he'll take some of that too. But, you know, he's already doing enough. You know, he's already playing at an MVP level. I think I really look at Dennis as the lead ball handler, you know, sharing that with LeBron. Kyle is probably the AD replacement in the starting lineup. And then Trez with the second unit, and potentially, you know, now the closing big, yeah, I think taking on a larger role as well. So those are the three guys I think offensively. Defensively, I'm very curious, because no one on this roster can replicate what AD can do offensively, but especially defensively, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he is a defensive player of the year candidate. He is a, you know, built in a lab, a physical specimen. You know, no one on this team can do what he does. So I am interested to see, you know, is it more Markieff Morris? Is it playing some more small ball with just a lot of Kuz at the four? Is more of that defensive burden on LeBron now? Like, I don't really know. Do they try to add somebody, right? Like, you know, 10-day contracts are coming up on February 24th. You know, so they could potentially add someone in free agency. They got an open roster spot. Like, I don't know how they try to plug that hole defensively, because that's where more of my concern is. I think this team has the offensive firepower.
Agreed.
They have, like, ask Kuz to take three or four more shots a game. He's not going to complain. You know, ask Trez to take three or four more shots a game. He's not going to complain. Like, these guys can fill up, you know, the offensive end, I think, just fine. It's the defensive end where I'm like, I don't know. You know, AD's been so important for this team. And when they're playing their best defense, he's on the floor and he's leading that back line. And I just, you know, I don't know who it's going to be, but someone is going to have to step up to replicate some of that. Otherwise, the defensive end of the floor is my only concern right now, honestly, with AD out.
Jovan Buha, Lakers beat writer for The Athletic, also co-hosts the Forum Club podcast. Jovan, I think this has been a conversation I've had a lot of from Laker fans, the Marc Gasol side of things. So, looking at Gasol, and I'll pay attention more on the defensive side for this one, what can he do over the next couple of weeks? I mean, how can he – I don't know how much confidence I have that much is going to change with Gasol as the season progresses. I think this is kind of what we have. And, you know, I've always said this, at the end of games, AD is going to be playing the five. So, you know, Gasol is really just in there for small stretches. And at the end of the day, if it's a big game or you're in the fourth quarter, AD is going to be there. But now that AD's not there, what can Gasol do to try to keep the Lakers afloat in his position, obviously being the biggest guy on the roster?
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's interesting. Like, Mark, you do see a trickle-down effect without AD, where really across the roster, you know, it's like the minutes are sprinkled. Everyone's playing, you know, 2 to 5 more minutes. Everybody's getting an extra shot or two. And Mark has actually really benefited, you know, on the season, he's only shooting 38%, but without AD, he's shooting 53%. You know, so that's a big jump. averaging more assists a game, more points a game, more shots. So I think Mark is actually more involved in the offense without AD, and I think you can run some of those elbow actions and some of those, you know, cutting movements off of Mark, and I think you'll see him as more of a facilitator and potentially getting some of those posts. I mean, we've seen him go to the post, and I've actually liked when he's gone to the post. I mean, it's been rare, but I think you might see some post-ups from him. Defensively, you know, he is a guy who is very scheme-based. You know, if you drag him out to the perimeter, you can blow by him. And I think with Mark, what I've said, several times this season is that I don't think he's making more mistakes necessarily than a JaVale or a Dwight did. It's just when Mark makes a mistake, it's so egregious because it's usually like a guy getting past him and then putting on the jets. And you see like Zach LaVine, you know, gliding to the rim and Mark's a few steps behind him and it doesn't look good. But when you actually look at, you know, the team's defensive rating and his blocks per game and his field goal percentage allowed, like he's in line for the most part with what JaVale and Dwight were doing. So I just think because he's a little bit physically limited, you know, it doesn't always look great, and his mistakes can kind of look worse than a blown, you know, the average blown rotation. But I don't know. I mean, I think he's going to play a little bit more. I think, you know, that said, because of his physical limitations, I just don't know how much the Lakers can get, like how much more they can get from him defensively. I think his role is more important now, but I think he's been trying. You know, I don't think effort has been an issue for him. So I really look at, you know, Trez as a guy who probably now has to play more, take on a bigger, defensive responsibility. And then again, Kuz and Keefe. Like, Keefe's minutes jump up, you know, the most of basically anybody when AD is out of the lineup because he goes from that 10th, 11th guy, you know, into the rotation. So I think, Keefe is a guy who, you know, we saw what he did in the finals. We saw what he did in the bubble. And, I think Laker fans have been asking, you know, where's that guy? And I think this is a big opportunity for him to really show, you know, he's still that, you know, caliber of guy who can close games and, you know, defend some of the best bigs and hold his own. So I look at really Keefe and Trez as two guys that, you know, probably have to handle more the defensive end versus Mark, where I think you just know what you're going to get and maybe you get more offensively.
All right, follow Jovan Buha. I want to spell this out here. All his articles, everything could be linked on his Twitter page. At JOVANBUHA, he also co-hosts the Forum Club. So everything Lakers related, that podcast, the Forum Club podcast. Jovan, I appreciate it as always. I know I'm going to see you at Staples Center soon, but thank you for taking the time and sharing that article that you got in The Athletic right now.
Appreciate it, Alan. I'll see you Thursday.
Okay, sounds good, bud. All right, that's Jovan Buha. Okay, when we come back, I want to just go through some of the different scores around the NBA. We'll take a quick glance at the NBA standings. Lakers taking on the Timberwolves tomorrow. Next five games for the Lakers, so we'll do all that coming up next.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, if you missed any part of the show, ESPN app or on iTunes, Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa, just search it on the ESPN app. We'll all be there, all full 2 hours. Stu Lance came on in the 7 o'clock hour, and obviously a lot of our conversation revolved around what the Lakers do if Anthony Davis misses 3 weeks, 2 weeks, a month, whatever the case is, how the Lakers are going to obviously continue to balance things. So the Lakers got the Minnesota Timberwolves tomorrow. Who do you think has got the worst record in the NBA? Worst record in the NBA. That, my friends, goes to the Minnesota Timberwolves. So Timberwolves obviously struggling. Every team seems to get up for the Los Angeles Lakers. So I don't think you'll expect anything different tomorrow. I'm sure the Minnesota Timberwolves will be excited about that game. What are they sitting at right now? T-Wolves are sitting at 7-20. They are coming off a win. They had a win against the Toronto Raptors in their last game. Six different guys scored in double figures. Karl Anthony Towns, obviously, the main guy for the Minnesota Timberwolves. So let's see how the Lakers do. By the way, you got this game against the Timberwolves, and then Thursday back at Staples Center, it's the game that I think we're all anticipating, the Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets, which could very easily be NBA Finals preview. So you got Lakers and the Nets, and then this week closes out against the Miami Heat. So Minnesota tomorrow, Brooklyn on Thursday, and Saturday you got the Miami Heat. After that, only 9 games left here until we get to the All-Star break. Couple scores I want to point out right now in the NBA. So the Jazz won again. So we'll look at the NBA standings here for a quick second. So Jazz won again. So Jazz now are sitting at 23-5. So they got a full 2-game lead on the Lakers now in the NBA standings. I don't know when they're going to come back to life, come back to earth, whatever you call it. But Jordan Clarkson had 40 points tonight. JC had 40 points tonight. They beat the Sixers 134-123. Heat and the Clippers are playing right now. Clippers with a 3-point lead in the fourth quarter. That's the only really other game I wanted to keep in mind. Nets are playing right now against Sacramento. They're going to win that game. KD is missing tonight's game. He's missing tomorrow's game. We'll see if he ends up playing against the Lakers coming up on Thursday. So we got into a lot tonight. We definitely got into a lot, and I think this is the main takeaway from me on the Anthony Davis front. I see a lot of opportunity for some of these Laker players. I really do. I think, you know, you heard Jovan talking about it, and I mentioned it as we started the show. Lakers are supposed to have all this depth, right? I mean, wasn't that what we were all kind of pumping our chest about in the offseason, saying, look at the Lakers. Anthony Davis, LeBron James, put those two players to the side for a second, even though they're the two best players in the world. But put them to the side for a second. Montrezl Harrell's a part of this team. Dennis Schroeder. We all know what KCP was doing. He's got to get back on track. And the Lakers struggling from three. I read something yesterday off Chris McGee, Geeter from Spectrum Sportsnet. I read a stat on his Twitter. It said Lakers' last 12 games are shooting 29% from the three-point line. The opportunity I'm referring to, there's going to be certain players you expect every single night to deliver with Anthony Davis out. For me, it's Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder. Those guys got to deliver every single night. The biggest opportunity falls on Kyle Kuzma's shoulders. Kuzma in these last three games or so, I think he's averaging 18-10, something like that, 18-7, something along those lines. Kuzma's had a great three games, and he's been getting it, you know, strictly off of just hustle plays. And a lot of people have told me this over the last year or so. They'd say, man, have you seen Kuz's stats when LeBron or Anthony Davis are not playing? I'm like, yeah, I have seen them. Well, it's irrelevant because what we want to see Kuzma do is deliver when those guys are playing. Because when you're in the postseason, you're in the playoffs, AD and LeBron, of course, are going to be there and they're going to be the difference of whether you win a championship or not. But this is an opportunity for Kuz, who's had three really good games in a row where his shooting percentage has been fantastic, over 50% from the field. His point totals are great. It's a great amount for him to be at. Stu Lance said about an hour ago he expects Kuz to be around 18 to 20 points a night. His rebounding is there. His activity is there. All those things Kuz had, and now you got this window between now and probably the All-Star break where you might be the starting power forward for the Lakers until we get Anthony Davis back. So what a great opportunity for him. And listen, if the Lakers, if they drop some games in the NBA standings, I don't know about you guys, I'm not too worried about that. I think the Lakers will be fine from a home court perspective. Just got to get the squad healthy. Just got to get through that grinded out 72-game season. And by the time we get to March 3rd, we'll be 50% of the way there. Okay, we are going to do our Lakers talk on the social show, so come on to ESPN Los Angeles on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, any of that stuff. We'll be there, so if you guys want to join, we'll keep the conversation going. I appreciate everybody tuning in. Laura filling in as well. L.A., have a great rest of your night. Thank you for being a part of the show.